Good morning, everyone. I trust the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you through this season of fasting and seeking His face and calling out in His name. Let me remind you, and there's more of the devotionals out on the counter if you didn't get one or need one, lost yours, etc., etc. The results of fasting and prayer, and I believe that we are going to need to step into even fasting more than the church ever has in the past. In the past, it's been oftentimes special occasions or, you know, every once in a while. But how many of us have included, you know, we've started having, like, I know a ton of people that have this committed devotional time every morning, and I think that's awesome, and I think that's good. But how many of us have included fasting in that and really taken that to serious, to the point where now that we see a lot of times maybe unanswered prayer or delayed prayers or whatever the case may be. I remember Daniel prayed and there was a huge delay until he finally broke through to the Lord in his fasting, and then God said he sent the reinforcements to take care of the situation and the issue. And so we see that happening a lot of times. Jesus said this kind to his own disciples, this kind only come out through prayer and fasting. And so I feel like the Lord is challenging his body across the board to say, yeah, what will I do for a fast? Do I do this regularly, or is it just, you know, once a year or maybe a couple times a year or something? But I'm trusting that as you're stepping into it at whatever level, and in that brochure it gives you different types of fasting, whatever level that you step into it, that you become intentional about it so that we can see greater breakthrough, not only in our own personal lives and not only in our own personal families. And let me tell you, your family needs breakthrough. But also beyond that, what about the sphere of our influence? What kind of a, you know, what kind of an atmosphere are we releasing, like the, even this morning, over this community? I begin to envision people in their houses sitting there and all of a sudden just beginning to think about God. Or maybe remember that they used to go to church, or maybe realizing how empty they are and how lost they are without Christ, and beginning to set the stage in their lives and allowing them that freedom. Because remember, the Bible says that Satan has what? Blinded their eyes. So why don't we just deal with that? Why don't we just deal? Because they're not wrestling. They're not wrestling with flesh and blood, right? They're wrestling with the same thing that we wrestle with, and that is the principalities and powers over the airwaves. And I'm just saying, why don't we begin to intentionally realize we can clear the airwaves. Satan, if he hates one thing, can I just tell you this, and this is why we put so much emphasis on it. If it's one thing, it's like chalk, fingernails on a chalkboard to Satan, it is your worship. Because remember, he used to be the worship leader. And he got booted out because of pride. So can you imagine seeing the people that took your place or hearing them that took your place and how that must make them feel? I think I get it. I find joy in that. And I sometimes, if I'm driving down the road and I feel like overtaken with just heaviness or, you know, just whatever, the crazy thoughts or mean thoughts or whatever the case may be, I just begin to sing. And I tell you, that gets rid of him quicker than anything else. And I can't really sing, but it still gets rid of him. He can't stand any of it. But as we focus on this, and really, you know, when we read the book of Acts, which I believe is the beginning of the church, oftentimes we just love to jump to Acts chapter 2, don't we? I would bet you know Acts chapter 2 better than you do Acts chapter 1. But if you read Acts chapter 1, it all got started because they prayed. They gathered together and they prayed. And I believe that there's a potential that they fasted also because they had seen Jesus do that. They asked him on the way out, okay, why can't we do what you're doing? He told them specifically, he said, this kind comes out like this, and they saw him fast also. This kind comes out like this. So it's my suspicion that when they went up there, they were fasting too, because guess what? Jesus, their king, was about to be taken. And so I think as we realize that, we can begin to see that that we might have to add something, or maybe to make it sound better and easier, just take something off of our agenda and allow him to begin to speak to us. I love this morning's worship, and I love the emphasis of it and the desire of God to show himself and reveal his heart, and it is whole, and ours is not sometimes, but his is, and he wants to do a deep work. I want to share something this morning. That was just a freebie. I want to share something this morning with us that I want to ask you to really turn on your spiritual hearing. The pace was set with worship, I believe, in a unique way. But let's turn on our spiritual ear to have ears to hear so that our natural mind would not resist the things of the Spirit, as Paul the Apostle encouraged us. He said, you better be careful, because I'm telling you, this is going to resist. Your natural mind is always going to resist the things of the Spirit. And I believe this morning, more than the words that I speak to you, more than the scriptures that I read to you, I want you to capture the ear of God and the heart of God and the voice of God. On the Friday night prayer thing, Jan shared an amazing thing. It was an amazing service, but she shared an amazing thing that I was going to have her share today, but I forgot to ask her, so I'm not sure if you could get up and share that little piece or not. Would that work? Just the one piece? Okay, I don't, huh? Just about the word, and you, about speaking the word, yes. Can you do that? Do you feel comfortable doing that? Will you guys let her do that this morning? Unplanned. Amen. Up here. Just about the word you spelled out. The name that you spelled out.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. What was it? El Jehovah Rofe, right?
Yes.
That's what you're talking about. Is this working? Yeah.
Yes, it is. So whatever you say, guard it.
Yehovah Rophe is Yod Hey Vav Hey. Yod Hey Vav Hey. And that's Yehovah, which means hand, Yod, of grace, Hail, Hey, nailed, Vav, to grace. So that's his name, Yehovah. Is his name, hand of grace, nailed to grace. And then Rophe is, it means the one who heals. So Yehovah Rophe. So Rophe is a resh, which, and then a pei, and then a hey. And the resh means, each letter in the Hebrew alphabet has a meaning. So the resh is one of the meanings for resh. It's a hinge, and it can go this way or that way. We can turn this way or that way. The pay, the next letter, is a mouth. So we can turn towards speaking the word. And the word, the letter after that is the hay, which is, again, his breath and his life. No, it's not. It's Aleph, sorry. Aleph is the one after that. And that means strength. So we can turn towards him with our mouth by speaking the living word, and it brings strength to us. And we know that for sure anyway, that the word brings strength. And I was thinking something you were saying this morning, you know, and something that we were singing this morning, and that every single word has got Yeshua in it. So every single thing that we speak that's of the word has every bit of his name. Every name the one word that we speak, because it's all who he is.
Yeah.
Isn't that powerful? And it's like if you're baking a cake, you know, you put the eggs and the flour and the milk and the sugar all in together, and you beat the whole thing together, but you only have to take one bite, and in that one bite you've got all the eggs and the milk and the sugar. So you've got everything in one little bit. So you've got all of it. He is in one word of reading, and that's why people can just read the word. They can just read the word and get healed from it without even necessarily reading the healing scriptures. Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely.
Because it's got all the power on the inside of it. Yeah.
Excellent. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Jim. I just thought it was a powerful picture of using his name and word. And I like the illustration that she gave about, you know, the word, having the word, because a lot of it has to do with speaking it out. And she, you know, she said, when you can you hear the word? And she said, no. How do you hear it? When you speak it out. And that's critical for the body of Christ, that we speak out his truth and his word. And as we prayed over the names and then the other picture that we had for that Friday night to just bring everybody else into it was Patricia brought a handful of arrows, and you know the story where Elisha came before the king, and he was going to give him a promise, but he only struck the arrow a couple times. And the king said to him, hey, if you would have just kept striking it, it would have destroyed all of your enemies. And it speaks of the persistence of prayer and never giving up. I just know some people, there's kind of a theology out there, is why do I have to pray more than once? Well, if it didn't work, I think maybe you should just pray it twice. Just keep on praying, amen? Let's not stop, let's not give up. And through this few weeks, and I appreciate hearing people's testimonies and what the Lord is saying to you, and I hope you're hearing from him more over these last few weeks, and that it doesn't stop with the end of this fast, but even maybe challenge us as a church. Are we... Maybe should we commit to doing some fasting on a regular basis and not just, once on a special occasion, so that his power can be working through us. So our theme has been his name be known. And as I thought about that this morning, the thought came to me is his name needs to be known to us first, because I cannot share a name without knowing the name. I must know it first. I cannot really share about the goodness of Jesus unless I really know him also. And I don't know if you've ran into somebody that you haven't seen for maybe years, you know, and you connect up with them, and you got to find out all about them all over, don't you? And you got to get to know them all over again. And I think with us sometimes with our relationship with God, we can get so busy. I want to take the word known this morning, and I want to try to communicate something to us that I think if we can grasp it with our spiritual ear this morning, that it can potentially be a life changer for you. It could be the thing that you've needed for all this time and maybe for a long time. And that word known in the Hebrew is yada, yada. Will you say yada with me? Because I want us to begin to yada. Our Heavenly Father. And then Genesis chapter 3, usually it's good to go back to where's the first time this word is used. And by the way, this word is used nearly 1,000 times in Scripture. I call it important. If you go to Genesis chapter 3, you'll see in the garden it was first used, and the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew, or they yadad, that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And so we see the very first mention of this word is that all of a sudden what happened was they were able to see something that they hadn't seen before, right? All of a sudden it just got, wait a minute, we are naked. You know, I don't want this to be an X-rated movie this morning, but that's what it was. All of a sudden, boom, they're just completely naked, and they were ashamed of themselves, and they ran, and they did immediately, oftentimes what we do, they hid themselves, because when you get in the pure light and presence of God, as we understand from Isaiah, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the first thing he did was he began to confess and say, God, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm just not ready for this. And so we hide sometimes. We hide from God. But Adam didn't. Adam and Eve, all of a sudden, they knew. It's the same word that we see throughout Scripture almost 1,000 times is the word known. Known. And then in Genesis chapter 4:1, it gives us actually a deeper meaning to the word. In chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, And Adam knew, or yadad, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from God. And so what we see through that scripture is that word holds potentially the highest level of intimacy that mankind can step into. And this is what he's saying to you. I want you to come in. I want you to know me in this intimate, close, tight way that I created you to have. Remember, Adam and Eve walked in the garden before, and they just talked with God, and it was open, and it was easy, and it was clear, and then sin came in. But before that, there was just this open relationship. And so when I think about, okay, what do they mean? We need to know God. Well, I want you to know, I want it to be the most intimate of relationship that you have on the earth. How close can we get to the Lord? because this is the word that he uses, and we'll see through the scriptures where he uses it at other times. And then we come to Genesis chapter 41 and verse 39. It says, "And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God, even an ungodly Pharaoh, recognized this in Joseph." And I think as we walk into that closer relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God himself, people will begin to know it. They'll begin to recognize it. And he himself says it. He says, hey, he said to Joseph, since God has made all of this known to you. In other words, he saw that it was a much deeper, much more wise, intelligent, God-given plan than what he'd ever seen before on the earth. So much so that he took an outsider. Remember, he was a slave, sold off. He took an outsider and made him the second or the first man in command after him. I thought, wow, that's amazing, isn't it? He saw something. He saw God on Joseph's life. And he took him and advanced him and put him in a place. He says, because there is no one so what? Discerning and wise as you. And so I want to lead us toward maybe having a fresh understanding of what intimacy is like, so that as we pray, as we cry out to God, our level may be here for what we expect of God. When God says, I want you up here, I want to put you up in heavenly places, I want to put you over everything so that you can hear clearly and see clearly and know exactly what's going on around you. And again, I think this is critical for the day that we're living in. I think it's not going to turn around. Things are not going to turn around. Things are not going to start getting easier all of a sudden. They just aren't. It's just, even the Bible warns us of that, right? Jesus said, hey, you're going to have tribulations, and it's going to be worse toward the end. It's going to get darker and darker, but yet you don't have to worry about that because you're going to be walking in the light. And he may take you and some of you and put you right next to the right person that is not saved, but has authority and has ability and has the influence, and put you right next to them so that you can begin to speak life into them and they can begin to make decisions that could potentially help what God is doing, his redemptive plan. Amen? Because that's what Joseph, he saved all of Israel. You got to remember that. One person, don't ever think you're too small. One person that was discarded, made a slave, sold as a slave, became the person that God used in an amazing way. But he did that because he did step into a relationship with God through the trials and through the hardships and through the struggles. He decided that he was going to seek his God because he knew who God was. He knew who his God was. We see in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, it says, "So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know, I yada you by name." Wow. So see, he's talking about here Moses, and we know Moses did amazing things. He's talking about Moses, keeping in mind Old Testament, maybe not supposed to happen, but he says, man, I'm going to come to you. Why? Because you, I know you by name. You know me by name. Moses accomplished great things through this relationship that he had with God. He came up against the greatest force on the planet that was well able to just annihilate him if he wanted to. But he came up against that force and he set his people free. Amen. He came as a deliverer. He came and set the people free from the 40 years of bondage. And I thought, wow, how does one person do that? And you remember, he just kept going back in the face. I would not have done that if I didn't really know yada, his name. If I didn't know who he was, he wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have succeeded. But he did because he knew his name. And I think as for us today, even in the New Testament, how much greater, how much greater do we have this relationship that God has put with inside of us, but yet maybe we're not taking advantage of it because we just don't quite understand the yada relationship that we're really supposed to have, that intimate, close, tight relationship with the Father. And when I say that, I have to say what that means is you're hearing his voice, and he's hearing yours, and you might even hear something like what he said to Moses. He wasn't afraid to say, hey, Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, words out, I do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. What an amazing thing for God to say about anybody, amen? How many would like to have that going into heaven? God, oh yeah, I know him. Other than, oh really? No, surprise. No, he wouldn't say that, I'm sure. Thank you for laughing. I needed that. Nobody. I believe that the Lord wants to stir us up and turn us in this community of believers to a people that know him, and then when we go out, because we do know him so well, we begin to make him known. Because that may be the most important thing that we could ever do, is to make him known. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. Idols popped up. Jesus had to be made known. God had to be made known. The one true God had to be made known. I thought about the idea of having this closeness with God and crying out to him for his help and his strength and hearing his voice and knowing what he's saying and drawing close to him and having these regular encounters with him, so that when I do stop and pray, I really do hear him in the mornings. I'm not just there, again, I like devotionals, but I'm not there just doing a devotional and then leaving and being satisfied that I did the devotional, being satisfied that I had a one-way conversation with God. I don't want us to be satisfied with that. I want us to be satisfied with the fact that God speaks back to us. And you know, and you know her, that he spoke back to you on a consistent basis. And that we know that and we walk with that. And I wrote this down because I think, I will say this boldly, that the encounters that I'm talking about us having, the encounters that I am challenging us to look toward and to work toward and to have with your God are not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to have wild dreams about the weather, the devil's plot, or who the beast really is, or the date that he's going to come next. You should be not interested in any of that if you don't have an encounter with him personally. I know the Bible says know the times and seasons, but I think we get these things and we get to praying and we come up and that's what we come up with. And it like ministers to all of one generally, and it doesn't affect anything. I'm talking about the kind of encounter where you walk away from there, and even as we sang this morning, that love, love, love isn't in pieces anymore. It is so great. It is so amazing that it's starting to change my life. It's starting to make me a new person. It's starting to turn me around. It's changing my marriage. It's changing my family. It's changing my workplace. It's changing everything about me. It's changing my community. It's starting to stir within me the power of the true love of our living Father in heaven. The kind of encounter that I'm referring to, I'm wrestling through even this morning, this message, but I felt like he just said, the type of encounter that he's referring to is one that shows me, me. It shows me, me. We see examples of that. Again, back to Isaiah. Isaiah gets into the direct presence of God, and all of a sudden he realized he was a man of unclean lips. I never understood that. I mean, Isaiah wrote the most amazing book in the Bible. Isaiah is an actual, it tells you everything about everything. Everything. It's 66 books, like 66 chapters, like 66 chapters in the Bible. It's 39 of those chapters deal with Old Testament. 39 books in the Bible deal with the Old Testament. The last 27 deal with the New Testament. And Isaiah, the same thing, the last 27 chapters of his book deal with that. And I think, wow, it's amazing. How could it be a man of unclean lips? But what happened? God took him deeper, didn't he? He said, I need you to go deeper with me because I have much greater things for you to do. And you cannot do it without me. And when we think that we can, I think we're in big trouble anyway, right? So when was the last time that the Lord showed you in prayer? You literally just stopped. You thought, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, God, I see that now. I see that now. I didn't see that. And allowed him then to take what he shows you. Because oftentimes, this is a part of our hiding place, isn't it? You know, people that have been really hurt and offended at a young age and, rough things happen. We don't want to see that. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to deal with that even often. mean, we don't want to deal with it because when that comes up, a lot of stuff comes with it. But I want to just tell you that if you step into this place of yada with him, he will do exactly what he did with Isaiah. Isaiah didn't have to have a 12-step program, did he? I like God's plan. Hey, angel, get a piece of coal off the altar and send it down there and deal with the problem. The man opened up to me. That's good enough for me. Because he knows you can't do it anyway. You can't deal with those issues that you have, but yet they can be so closed, can't they? They can be so deep, even here this morning. Some of you have things that are so deep. You would never share with anybody. You don't want to share with anybody. You want to keep it closed, and you do it so much so that we actually even bury it from the Lord. And I think he wants to free us from that. He wants to free us from that. And I just know that, none of us probably are beyond some of this, but is he showing you when you enter into prayer? Because there's that measure of exchange that actually has to take place. You know, to him who takes a little and deals with it right, God will give you more. But if I don't, I can't get more because I couldn't handle it. Amen? My wineskin will break, as we talked about before. The other thing is that I wrote down is in these encounters is it stir me to know and recognize the times and seasons that I do live in, so that I can begin to change my priorities in life. And this is the thing the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me over these last couple of weeks in particular, even longer but more intense these last couple of weeks, is that I think we probably don't live in the kingdom as much as we think we do. But we literally, we may have a good prayer time, and we get up excited. And it happens to me too, and I work at the church, so I know it must happen to some of you. We're excited about it. We get up, I come into my office, and boom, it's like it's all there, and I jump right into doing what I need to get done. And I know we have to get stuff done, because the Bible talks about that. You'll be a good steward over your job and be a good servant to your masters and all that. I know that. But what happens? Why does that switch like that? Why does it change a priority and now all of a sudden I've got to think about the kingdom instead of walking in the kingdom on a regular, consistent basis? Does that make sense? I can feel it almost in my head when that happens, and I think, wow, and I hate it when, you know, the whole day goes through and all of a sudden you realize, wow, I was just so busy all day with all these good things, you know, that I just totally stepped out of the realm. He asked us to pray, his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? We know that? He also said the kingdom of God is where? It's within me. So I need to learn how to keep that completely open, that everything that I do, every decision I make, has the flavor of the kingdom on it. And it's not I got to stop and think about it, but it has the actual flavor, aroma, the sense of his presence on everything that I do. I think that's what happened to Joseph. And he said, wow, I've never seen anybody like you. Do they say that about us in our workplaces? Do they say that about us in our communities? Do they say that, you know, do I say that? So I think when I'm talking about an encounter, I mean, just that's what I'm saying is I have a kingdom priority because, you know, the Bible says that we pray, we are to pray continually, doesn't it? It says pray without ceasing. Now, obviously, you cannot do that with your verbal prayers. But you know what can pray without ceasing, if you allow it? Your spirit. Right? Come on, well, we don't know. The spirit can intercede. Your spirit doesn't need to stop praying ever. It just needs to sometime come to the surface where you speak it out. Whatever that case may be, it's okay, that's what my spirit is saying. And I speak it out, or I pray it out, or I do whatever. So I can pray without ceasing, but yet I hate to say it's not an art, but it is certainly something that you have to work toward. But it starts with understanding that we can walk in this type of a relationship with our Father to where it's so intimate, it's so close, that I literally continually have this sense of his presence stirring inside of me. And it's not a second thought. It's not a stop and think about it. But it's a constant thing so that every time I face something, the immediate response is from him and not from my own mind. That makes sense? I mean, how exciting would that be? And again, I want to challenge us. Joseph had such a relationship that this ungodly Pharaoh said, wow, you're amazing. I'm giving it to you all. How about that at work? The other thing is that when I have those kind of encounters, it stirs my faith for the miracles and power of God moving through me on a more regular basis. The miracles and power of God moving through me on a more regular basis wherever I am at. And a lot of Jesus' miracles were out in the middle of unsaved people, weren't they? And a lot of unsaved people watched him do those miracles. He was not bashful about it. He wasn't ashamed of it. He was willing to just stop and excuse me, and pray for people, heal people, excuse me, do all types of things to reveal and release the power of God. And then the fourth point is that I would be a greater witness around me. That I would be a greater witness around me. When they saw Jesus, they really literally said, and again, he is our model, and he gave us everything he had, everything that Father gave him, he gave to you. He is our model. And they said of him, wow, he teaches as one with authority. And man, you know what authority does? Authority just opens up the power of God around you. And it's an amazing thing. And I know we always like to gravitate toward the wild and the spectacular, but how many dates have come and how many dates have gone, and we've given lots of energy to it, we've poured all of our emphasis on it, we've talked about it, and boom, it's gone. And I am not against knowing the times and seasons, but Jesus never called us to try to even figure out the day. I think the Bible even says Jesus doesn't even know the day, right? So why would we know it? Or even begin to guess it? And I just hear so much of this, and I just think, oh, Jesus, help us. Help us, help us, help us. So we have the book of Joshua. And let me go through some of this. We have the book of Joshua. You know the story. They come out of the wilderness. They move into the promised land. They experience all kinds of great victories. And they have promises that are fulfilled. Listen to this. Joshua chapter 2, 21, verses 43 to 45. And so the Lord gave to all of Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give their fathers. And they took possession of it and they dwelt in it. And the Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. How many think that'd be a great day? When the enemy just got off, was not able to just even come against you and stir your minds and mess with your emotions and remind you of the wrong things and stir you in the wrong direction and steal your hope and rob you of that. It says, not the enemies could stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Wow. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That's an amazing thing. And do we expect that? Do we expect all of his promises? We sing it. Yes and amen. They are yes and amen. And again, when I am not seeing those yes and amens, maybe I do need to fast. Maybe I do need to take a little extra measure. Maybe I do need to get this as a regular diet, because God's not a cosmic genie to us. And then we come to the book of Judges. And I want you to hear this, because they move from going through all these victories. And this shows how quickly and how quickly we can take a nosedive if we're not aware and if we're not careful. And we go to Judges and listen to what it says. Something happens here. Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. And so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, what just happened, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. So they let it get a little bit past Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now verse 10, listen to this. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know or yada, who did not yada the Lord, nor the work which he had done in Israel. Can I ask you to consider maybe that we could potentially be at that place right now where we're just not seeing the miracles that even Joshua saw? We're not seeing those. So we came out, and if we look at our track record, as America tries to pull God out of America or out of people in general, as he does that, a lot of people just don't know him. The percentages are staggering for this coming generation or this generation that's now. And so maybe we're missing something here that we should say, God, here in Judges, they did not know the Lord. And look at Judges chapter 6. and verses 12 and 13. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. Remember now, this is a season. Gideon's hiding because he's afraid. They aren't seeing the miracles. They aren't seeing the signs. And so now Gideon, the man of God, is hiding. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about?" Come on, does that ring a bell to you? Have you ever asked God, "Lord, where's the miracles?" I have. I've done that a lot lately. I said, "God, where are the miracles? Where are the miracles?" And I remind him of what things have been done. And as you read through now Joshua, or the Judges, then you see several distinct times where Israel, the people of God, went after God and then gave up on God. Went after God, gave up on God. Went after God and gave up on God and forsook him. And as you see that pattern, I would encourage you actually to read that, because in the middle of all of that falling away, you can pick up several ideas of what took place and how they got back to God. How did they get back to God? So you have Gideon, and God comes to him. And then we come from there and we go to one that I would just like to read us. I don't know that I put this on the PowerPoint. So if I didn't, would you get your Bibles out quickly, and let me try to wrap this up with this picture out of Judges. So we went from bondage, freedom, victories, forsaking God, not seeing the signs and wonders and miracles, and now we're going to read a story out of Judges here, Judges chapter 13, and I want you to just let some of the thoughts resonate in your mind, because what it's revealing to us is somebody's relationship with God. It's somebody that's recognizing, wow, I don't see these things, God. What is going on? Let's look at that. Start with verse 1, and I'll just kind of peruse through it, and I'm just believing, and I really felt the Holy Spirit said, you would get it. You'd grab some points out of here, so have a spiritual ear this morning. There's nothing more powerful than what I'm about to do. I'm about to read the Word of God. I'm about to read the Word of God. Nothing more powerful than that. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Okay, so they went the wrong direction. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And now there was a certain man from Zora. I like it. It's just one person. It's really two people, a man and his wife. And he's the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. How many knew that he had to define what barren meant, I guess? And then he had to say it to the woman, too. Verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed now, you are barren." So there we go again. "And you have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." How many know that barrenness in the Old Testament was actually not looked upon well? It was seen almost as a curse. It was seen almost as a curse. And so Patricia and I struggled for 7 years to have kids, and the feelings you go through is like, wow, it's crazy. And so it's one of those things where he's saying, you know, he's bringing her to a place, them to a place. Look at verse 4. "Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Wow. "And so the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very awesome, but I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name.'" Okay, so there's that idea of name coming up. "And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' And Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'Oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you've sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who was born.' God listened to the voice of Manoah. God listened to the voice of Manoah. God listened to the voice of Manoah. He really listened to his voice. We see that with Daniel. He says, Daniel, I just want you to know, I know there's been a delay here, but I want you to know I heard your voice from the very first prayer. I heard you. So it's important that you begin to pray. You don't wait, and you continue to pray. You continue to ask, you continue to seek, you continue to find, because God's going to fulfill all of his promises. Not some of his promises, he's going to fulfill all of his promises. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen? It's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. And God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of the Lord came to the woman again, and she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. And so Manoah arose and followed his wife. And when he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. See, there's just a real interesting interaction here, isn't there? I mean, this is like a real thing. I mean, this is the angel of the Lord, but he's communicating with them in a real sense. It's not a spooky thing, but it's a real sense. And Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? And so they're now praying or asking about their son, and they're going to take this promise that he's going to do great things. And now they're interceding with him. They want to know what it is. I mean, I know as a parent, we've done that with our kids. Lord, what's your heart for our kids, and how can I pray it over them from the very beginning? How many know that's a great advantage to what most of us grew up having? It's a great advantage. Especially if you believe in prayer, especially if you're walking with God and you know him and he's communicating. I think he will communicate to you about your kids. Verse 14, she may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? And when your words come to pass, I may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? I think sometimes we overlook these words. He's the wonderful counselor, amen? He's the mighty God. He's the everything to you, as we talked about, as was talked earlier, the power and the name. He's everything to us. So he took the young goat with him at the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did wondrous things while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened. And wouldn't you like to know what those wondrous things were? That's just my curiosity as to what he was really doing. But you know what is most important there? He was probably doing exactly what they asked him to do. He was probably crying out to God and trying to get the will of God. And I might say this. You guys know the struggle that Samson had. What if he didn't have praying parents? Wow. I can imagine his parents seeing him, being set into a very challenging situation and getting close to being deceived and to fall and not be able to fulfill the purpose of God. But I think praying parents make a difference in our kids, without doubt, and help them fulfill the will of God, the purpose of God. Let's just read a few more verses, and then we're going to wrap it up this morning. But I just felt I wanted us to see this interaction back and forth with man and God and man and God and man and God and you and God, you and God and you and God in a very yada way. I mean, they're asking some amazing things that are very personal. When it happened at verse 20, as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And when Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces in the ground. And I think, Lord, how do we have those encounters in prayer with you? We have so much more ahead of us right now. We have the Holy Spirit in us. How do we get to that place? And in my prayer times, God, like Isaiah, I see you high and lifted up. Verse 21, and when the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would have not accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as at this time. And I thought, wow. Jesus, when he walked on the earth, violated what were really the different things around him. You know, the religious people always mocked him for this and that. Healing on the Sabbath, and you know, it's all that stuff. That's just a form of, that's religion. It's a form of religion without godliness when I let that happen to me. But I want to just take a minute now. I'd like for you to, if you don't mind, if you don't need to, but I'd like for you to just close your eyes for a second. I want you to receive this message. I want you to hear the message and hear the gist of it. I'm so inadequate to express this, but I know it's critical for us to get into that yada relationship with our Heavenly Father. We need to hear Him more than ever before, especially to make an impact in this generation, in our generation that we are responsible for. So, Father, this morning, as we just pause to consider the yada relationship that you planned from the beginning, communicated to us in so many different illustrations, life illustrations and ways, for 4,000 years, you brought your Son to literally die on the cross so this yada relationship would even be able to exist. And God, today, we want this not for selfish gain or selfish purposes, but God, I want it that I may make an impact on my family, my church, and for my sphere of influence, the place that I live and work and breathe. That God, we would literally look at some of these illustrations and realize the possibilities that we may be missing out on. And God, I'm praying right now because I know as even in my own mind, you just think, wow, how can I really stop and get to that place? But oh God, you wouldn't have challenged us to seek first the kingdom and its righteousness if it wasn't possible. So I'm asking this morning for just a special grace to fall upon this group of people right now. Special grace. You open our eyes. You open the eyes of our understanding. You give us the grace that's needed. You give us the understanding we need to walk with you closely and intimately. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name.